Bibles with me to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Last week I asked a question that was inspired by John chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. The question was, will you be made whole? The point was made and driven home that in our culture, we do not want anything halfway. We're not satisfied with getting small portions or half sizes of anything. We will not. We will stand and argue with anyone who tries to cheat us out of what is ours, especially if we've paid for it. But there's one thing we don't put up much of a fight for, and that's being made spiritually whole. It seems like we are content with mediocre Christianity, even though the price was paid for us to experience the full measure of God's grace. This morning, I want to ask you another question. How do we become comfortable in our Christianity? Now, last week, I kind of pointed at the fact that we as Christians, most Christians are comfortable in their mediocrity. How is it? How is it that we become comfortable in our Christianity? How is it that so many settle for mediocre spiritual life? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 7. I could read this whole chapter, and it's applicable, but we're going to start in verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, being present tense. This is what the Holy Spirit says, present tense. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in rebellion on the days of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with this generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers. Watch out, brothers, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become companions of the Messiah, if we hold firmly until the end, For if we have become companions of the Messiah, if we hold firmly until the end, the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Let's pray. Father, we come to You again just asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, during this time as we open Your Word, God, I pray that You'd open our minds, that we might be able to see, we might be able to receive, we might be better Christians as we walk through these doors here shortly. Back into the mission field that You've placed us, God, that we might be the witness, give the testimony that You've have us to give. Lord, that we might glorify You, not ourselves. Lord, there's a day coming, very shortly, where we are going to stand before You. Help us, Lord, to heed the warning of this message this morning, that our hearts not be hardened. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, I want to repeat the question again this morning. How is it that so many Christians settle for mediocre spiritual life? We see that, don't you? You do see that, right? You know, are we really excited on Saturday? Man, I can't wait for tomorrow because tomorrow is Sunday. I mean, do we lay our clothes out on Saturday night in great anticipation? Do some of you take showers on Saturday night because you want to just leap up out of bed, fix your hair if you've got hair, and get into your clothes and get to church as fast as you possibly can? I mean, are there any of you who are just so excited about Jesus and what Jesus is doing, not man, but what Jesus is doing, not only in your life, but in the life of the church, that you don't want to miss? I'm not going to miss Sunday morning. I'm not going to miss Sunday night. I'm not going to miss Wednesday night. I'm not going to miss any opportunity that I have to learn more, to study more, to get to know my Savior more. Well, where's that excitement at? Well, if you don't have it, you might be one that I'm talking about this morning that's settled for a mediocre spiritual life. It's awful quiet. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you not want all of what God wants to give to you? Now, last Sunday night, just in case some of you missed, and many of you did, last Sunday night we saw a real worship service take place in Revelation chapter 5. We saw a real one take place. John found himself in the throne room of heaven and saw God sitting in his throne, holding a scroll bound by seven seals. We heard an angel of the Lord with a loud voice asking, "Who is worthy to open this book and break these seals?" John cried. He physically cried because no one could be found until Jesus approached the throne. Jesus took the scroll from the hand of God, and then worship service broke out. The four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell on their feet to worship Jesus. A new song was sung, and a countless multitude worshiped Jesus and in heaven and on earth and under the sea and on the sea. This is what happened. This is yet to happen, but it will happen. Church, hear me. Listen to me. If you call yourself a Christian, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to be there. You're going to see what we experienced, we talked about in Revelation chapter 5 last week. You're going to experience that. Then. But can I tell you, you can experience it now? You can. You can experience that. Well, Brother Kyle, how can I experience that? That's something that's going to take place in heaven. It really is. But it's a picture of what can take place today. Listen, we are a picture of Jesus Christ. We are the church. We are the bride. We can experience that today. If you want to. Church, do you see Jesus being worshipped this way anywhere on earth that we just talked about in Revelation chapter 5? Do we see Jesus being worshipped anywhere on earth this way? Why do we not worship our Lord today? Right now, the way He deserves to be worshipped. I believe that we can look at the scripture we just read this morning and find out what happens in our lives and what we can do to lose sight of true worship. Did y'all just see what happened as we read through this scripture? Did y'all see it? Did you see what just happened in Hebrews chapter 3? Well, before we get there, I just want to ask. I want us to get, you know, based and get ready for what we're getting ready to hear. How many times in your life have you had what just happened moments? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'll never forget there was a time when, as my children were growing up, and I was working two or three jobs, at least two jobs a lot of times, and when I was working just one job, I was working that job, and anytime they called me in for overtime, and I'll never forget, Amy called me and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm working overtime." She said, "Well, do you know what today is?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's January." She said, "No, do you know what day it is?" I said, "Honey, I'm working overtime. I can't be sitting here talking on the phone. Well, what are you trying to get at?" Because she's always, you know, she tells me, I ask her questions and want her to guess, but that's what she was doing. That's what she was doing, Lisa. I said, "What? What is it?" She said, "Today's January 10th. And I said, "Okay, that's wonderful. It's January 10th. She said, "It's your son's birthday." Yeah. And I had gotten up at 4:30 in the morning and worked all day, and it was like 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night, and he was getting ready to go to sleep, and he was like 4 or 5 years old. You know, and I had one of those what just happened moments. What just happened to me? Why am I more focused on this than that? And some could say, "Well, you're focused on your family." Well, kind of not really. You know, I'll never forget when I came home one time and Amy had cooked dinner, and we had just gotten married. And guys, I don't suggest y'all do this. But she had cooked dinner, and we were living in the apartments. We all right? Okay, I'm just checking. And she had just cooked dinner, And she asked me, you know, she said, how is so-and-so? And I said, well, it's all right. It's, you know, it could be better. And she picked that plate up and threw it up against the wall. See, y'all, listen, y'all see the mild-mannered. I try to tell y'all, she's got a temper. She does. Y'all don't see it.
I see it.
But I stepped back, and Teresa, I just said, woo, what just happened? And men, we like to think, well, you know, I ain't cleaning that up. We like to think, well, you know, that wasn't my fault, but that was my fault. Look, Miss Crawford's back there, said, yes, right, that's your fault. And I thought to myself, Gary, what just happened? What in the world just happened? Back in April, when I went to take my dad to the hospital, all I was doing was just taking him to the doctor. I've had this conversation with myself over and over again. He was stubborn. All I was doing was taking him to the doctor so I could be there and listen to what the doctor was saying, because he wouldn't let my mother go back there and listen to what the doctor was saying. So I took him, and 4 days later, I'm burying him. And I asked myself, what in the world just happened? I believe when we get to heaven and stand before the Lord, many of us are gonna stand and ask, as we watch our lives being reviewed, what just happened? What is it that just happened? How did I lose my joy? How did I lose my excitement? What happened to my worship? What can we do right now, church, to turn the knob the other direction? I firmly believe when we stand before the Lord, we're going to see the day that we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and we're going to see how excited we were, and we're going to see how we could not wait to get a Bible in our hands and open God's Word. And we didn't understand a lot of it, but as we started reading, it started penetrating our dark heart, and it started speaking to us in a way that it never had before. And we were excited about being around other Christians. We couldn't wait to get to church. We were wanting to learn. And then something happened. What in the world happened that changed us from being exciting about learning and being in the presence of God to not so excited? Well, I believe verse 7 tells us something. Verse 7 tells us that we need to learn to recognize the voice of God. Look at verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7 says this: therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear the voice, hear His voice. Oh, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Hear His voice. Y'all pay attention. Hear His voice. I don't hear His voice. Really? Now, you call yourself a Christian, you tell me you don't hear His voice. Y'all hear me say it all the time. God reveals Himself through what? Who is through His creation. How often? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Can I tell you I hear God's voice in the wind? I do. You mean you hear God's voice? I can feel the presence of God every time the wind blows. Where does it come from? Where does it go? Where does it stop? Where does it finish? Listen, I feel the presence of God every time I hear the thunder roll. I hear His voice. Thunder? Yeah. I mean, just the powerful presence of God. When I see lightning strike across a dark sky, I see the presence of God. I feel the presence of God. When I sit at the ocean, and Amy has this experience way more than I do, when she sits at the ocean, she hears the voice of God as the waves come crashing in, as the birds fly by and tweet. Listen, in all honesty, y'all have heard me talk about this in times past. Rocks, I believe, rocks. Scripture tells us that rocks. Jesus told them, He said, listen, the Pharisees said, Jesus, you need to, you know, shut your disciples up. Jesus said, listen, if I hindered them, the rocks would cry out. Rocks. Just rocks. You know, the things we pick up and throw at people? Rocks. Now, surely Jesus didn't mean it. Oh, yeah, He did it. Listen, a rock is a created thing that God created. It was, everything on this earth was not meant for just us. It was meant for us to see and understand who God is, that we might worship Him in fullness the way we ought to be worshiping Him. But if all creation worship God the way we should worship God. Oh, my heavens. I wonder what it sounds like for a rock to cry out to God. Do y'all realize that the only thing that does not worship God the way God deserves to be worshiped on this earth is us? Old me, Brother Fankright. Us. One of these days, I believe we're going to be able to hear those rocks cry out in worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's going to be an unbelievable thing. Verse 8 tells us something else. It tells us, do not harden your heart when you hear His voice. Don't harden your heart. Oh, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about here? When you hear the voice of God, it's compelling you to do something. Even if it's saying, hello, how are you this morning? If the voice of God is speaking to you, He is compelling you to do something, to respond back to Him somehow, some way. Well, how do you harden your heart? Well, that's not God. When God tells you, listen, I want you to go to visitation tonight and tell somebody, well, that's not God. When you see somebody in need and you turn around and you see that person in need and the Holy Spirit says you have the ability to do something for that person in need and you say, oh, that's not the voice of God. When God tells you to move and you don't want to move, you're saying that's not the voice of God. Listen, we harden our hearts to the true voice of God. It happens to us every day. And listen, whether you realize it or not, that prohibits you from worshiping God the way God created you to worship. Sad. And listen, I didn't expect to get a lot of amens this morning. I really didn't. We need to analyze ourselves. We need to find out why we are not worshiping God the way He deserves to be worshiped. Verse 8 tells us not to harden our hearts. Verse 8 through 11 also tell us this. Remember what happened to those who did harden their hearts and to the voice of God. Well, who was he referring to here? The Hebrew children in the wilderness? You know, we see the hand of God every single day. Every single day. In the eyes of a child. Y'all hear me say this. You can look at yourselves in the mirror, and some of y'all are ugly, but you can still see the hand of God. How does your heart continue to beat? I mean, there's nothing that you're doing to continue. I mean, how do you keep breathing? You don't talk to yourself and say, okay, I need another breath. You can look at yourself and see the magnificence of God. Some of us easier than others. But church, what is it? Why is it that we can't stay consistent in our walk, in our lives with the Lord and remember everything that He did? You look at the Hebrew children, and they saw God work in unbelievable ways. Now, you look at all the atrocities that took place, how He brought the Hebrew children out of the land of Egypt. Have you ever looked through those and wondered, okay, I would have left then. I would have left then. When the water was turned to blood, I would have been saying, hold, you know, that's pretty neat. I don't know how in the world they did that. Now, you know, when the frogs came up on shore, I'd have been like, hey, that's pretty neat. I love frogs, but this is a lot of frogs. Now, when the flies came, the little gnats, you know, that I think some of them stayed around in Georgia. They came from Egypt to Georgia. But that would have been nasty. At what point would you have said, you know, oh, golly, I need to worship God a little better than what I'm doing. This is phenomenal. Would it have been the last miracle that they saw where all the firstborn children were killed? How about the next one? Because, you know, there was a next one. When the Jordan was divided and the Hebrew children walked through on wet ground? No, dry ground. And, you know, there's scientists who have kind of downplayed that. For 2 to 3 million people to walk through in the period of time, they said it would have had to have been at least 5,000 feet wide for them to walk through in the time that the Scripture said. That's pretty good, isn't it? At what point would you have said, okay, that's enough, I believe? I have to ask you the same question. At what point do you see the hand of God working in your life every single day and concede and say, listen, I'm not worshiping the way I ought to. I see you, Lord. I give up. I surrender. I'm going to worship you in fullness and truth the way you deserve to be worshiped. Because he's calling out to us how often? Daily. Daily. He's calling out to us. Does it not astonish you as he's given us this reference? 2 to 3 million. 2 to 3 million Hebrew children left Egypt. 2 to 3 million. That's a lot. How many made it to the promised land? 2. Out of 2 to 3 million who left Egypt, 2 of those original made it to the promised land. 2. Why is that? Because when they came face to face and had to make a decision about whether they were going to follow God or follow the popularity contest, they said, no, listen, we can whip them. With 2 out of 2 to 3 million, 2 walked into the promised land. It wasn't even Moses. It was Caleb and Joshua. Remember, Moses beat the rock, and he was upset. He was frustrated. He's like, you know, God said just beat the rock how many times? 1. I mean, I think he was beating the hound out of that rock. God said, okay, listen, you're being disobedient. You're done. 2 out of 2 to 3 million. Church, this serves as a reminder to us. We're going to go one of each, you know, one way or the other. Most go this way. God says, hey, listen, you can come this way. It's a narrower road. You have to hop on one foot. Most don't. Listen, most will listen to this message. Most of y'all have already shut me off after the first 5 minutes. But you don't have to. You don't have to. Listen, he says this as well. He says, watch out, brothers. Did y'all see that? He says, watch out, brothers. Watch out for what? So that there will be not in any of you an evil heart that departs from the living God. Well, you know, there's scholars who differ on their understandings of what this scripture means. Some say that he's talking to unbelievers. I've never seen anywhere in scripture where a believer calls an unbeliever brother. And I've never seen in scripture where it says, be careful that you do not allow evil into your heart. Listen, if you have to be consciously aware of evil, and the only way you can be consciously aware of evil is to understand the fullness of God's grace. For us to impose moralistic values on the lost is what? It's heresy. For us to look at evil and understand that it's evil, we have to be children of God. Amen? Verse 13 tells us something else. Verse 13 tells us to encourage one another daily. That's Christian brothers and sisters. This is positive communication. Do you know why conflicts and contentions arise in the church? Because there's lack of communication. Do you know why conflicts and contentions arise in the home? Because lack of communication. Do you know why conflicts and contentions arise anywhere in the workplace, anywhere? Because of lack of communication. Why do we need encouragement daily? That none of us may become hardened by sin's deception. Sin is deceptive. It grabs you and you don't even know that you have it. Who is not here today, church? Who have you not seen in a while? Who needs some encouragement to get back on track? God has commissioned us to be encouragers, not coddlers, but encouragers. Not coddlers, but encouragers. Well, Brother Kyle, why are you saying this? Because, listen, there's something that happens in just about every atmosphere. It's not just the church. It's about every single atmosphere. And I want to address it once again as I have in times past. Listen to me. You can say a lot about your preacher, and I promise you, she's probably already said it. Some of it might be true, but one thing that you cannot say about your pastor is this: he's not accessible. I don't feel like I can talk to him. I can't call him on the phone. Listen, I promise you, I'm accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you need me, you can come by here and talk to me. If you can't catch me here at the office, which I'm here, I have what's called office hours. Okay, I'm usually here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day except for Friday, and I take one of those things called days off, right? But Monday through Thursday, I'm here from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, sometimes later. My phone is with me, and sometimes I forget it, but Amy's always on me. Where's your phone? Where's your phone? Is it on? Well, why? So y'all can communicate with me if you need to. Why are you saying this, Brother Kyle? Listen to me. You don't have to talk about me. You can talk to me. You don't have to say, well, I wonder why he did so-and-so. You can pick up the phone and say, hey, Brother Kyle, why did you do so-and-so? Why do you believe so-and-so? You do not. Listen, lack of communication causes conflict and contention. You don't have to talk about anybody. You can talk to them. Right? Do you know what causes a lot of conflict and contention, especially in the church? You talk about God, but very seldom do you talk to him. I got one amen. Listen. If you are what you are and this is affecting you and you read through Scripture and you're saying, well, listen, I wish that I wish that I could worship God the way they did in Revelation chapter 5, it's not God's fault. He didn't put a stop button on you. He didn't create you not to worship. Listen, he created you to sing with the fullness. Listen, brother, can I prove this point? Can I prove it? Oh, my heavens, let me try to think real quick. There are songs that I can think of. I'm not going to do it, though. There are songs that I can think of, especially you 80s generation. I could start singing them, and y'all know every word. You would. I could start, naming, and y'all would know every word. How is that? Because we were made to sing. We were made to worship. We were made to stand up. We were made to get excited. Listen, I'm going to tell you, even today, as I'm flipping through the radio station and Prince comes on, Doves Cry, I'm just like, yeah, baby. And I can listen. I know every word to those. How is it? How is it? Because I was made to sing. You were made to sing. We were made from the tops of our heads to the tips of our shoes to worship somebody, something. Well, Brother Kyle, tell me, who is it that I was supposed to worship? Jesus. Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know as you're flipping through and it's just a terrible radio. Seek, scan, and you hear one of those old songs. And you get excited, don't you? Even Miss Gracie's back there saying, yes, Lord. Why? We were meant for so much more. We really were. God gives us that excitement. God stirs our heart, not towards those, but towards his songs. Church. Verse 14 tells us something else. Verse 14 tells us that we should be willing to do all of these things that I talk about this morning. Look at verse 14. Let me just read verse 14. Verse 14 says this. For we have become, no doubt, companions of the Messiah. If, there's that pesky word again, isn't it? We have become companions of the Messiah if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. I can't look at your hearts, and you can't look at mine. But you can look at your worship. And you can pretty much tell where you are. You can tell what defines you, what excites you, what gets you excited, what you're first in line for, what you'll run for. You know, I'll never forget back in the day, we lived next to Carowinds, and they used to have good concerts. And we'd see that, a group was coming in, and open, they'd have the first time where you could go and buy tickets, and it's 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Now, what do most people do at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning? Huh? Sleep. That's exactly right. Sleep. But no. Listen, you hear your groups coming in, you're at the gate at 6 a.m. And there's people who are already ahead of you. Why? Because that's my group. That's my people. the gates open, and you're allowed to drive in. Now, you don't drive 2 miles an hour. Well, I'll get there when I get there. And you see the posted speed limit. How many of y'all been to Carowinds? It's like a mile and a half from the front entrance all the way back, and there's a posted speed limit like 25 miles an hour. When that gate opens, it's like a NASCAR dropping of the flag, baby. You get around. I mean, I don't care that person. Hey, listen, Gidget, I don't care that person got there at 5 o'clock. I don't care. What do? You hit the gas, and you get around them. Why? Because you want the front of the line. And you get to where you go to park your car, and you don't get out there and you say, well, I need my lipstick, and I need my pen, and I need this, and I need my pocketbook. No, listen, you have your money in your pocket. You slam the door, and you don't walk. You don't just, well, you know, I'll keep my composure. No, listen, you slam the door, and you run with all that's in you like Forrest Gump to get to the front of the line. Why? Because you're excited. You don't want back row seats for the flock of seagulls, man. When Chicago was coming to the town, Amy didn't care anything about them. Listen, I wanted first five rows. I was excited. Over something earthly. What have these people ever done for the glory of God? What have they done? But yet, I mean, I got up out of bed early. I was willing to crash my car. I would run a race, a marathon, to get to the front of the line. And I didn't care. I didn't have $25, but I did that day. Why? Because it was worth it to me. Why is Jesus not worth that to us? Why aren't we excited? Why aren't we at the front of the line? Why aren't we at the front of the pews? Let me ask you this. How many of you invited somebody to church this past week? I didn't tell you to raise your hands, but I'm glad that you did. How many were you so excited about your Lord and Savior? What God's doing here? That the very minimal thing that you did, you invited somebody to church. Church, the reason we live, the reason we have life, the reason that we're not going to hell is because of what was done for us by Jesus. This is reason for great celebration. When we worship Jesus, we are celebrating who He is and what He has done for us. Why isn't there just an amazing celebration service every single Sunday? Is it because of God? Or is it because of us? Church, listen, if you're not excited about what Jesus has done for you this morning, there can only be two reasons why. You've either let Satan steal that joy that God always intended you to have, or you never had that joy to begin with, meaning you've never been saved. This morning, will you come down here and ask God to help you find your joy? You don't know where it is, but you want it back. Listen, if you've never experienced the fullness of God's grace and His joy, this altar's open. I'm going to be standing right down here. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, let the day be the day of your salvation. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love You and we praise You. God, this is Your time. This is Your invitation. These are Your people. I pray that You would touch the heart of every person who's here this morning, believer and unbeliever alike. Have Your will and way done, Lord Jesus, please. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?